show that is all baseball.
They're better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Zing Zang Cocktail in a Can, Wind Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brings up Matt Olson. He's been a little trouble tonight with a double and a single. He's gone 2-for-4. Swung on and missed, struck him out, and the Red Sox wrap it up. They beat Atlanta 9-4. Schreiber really good. Rafi Devers with a grand slam, and the Red Sox make it work to end a five-game losing skid.
Whoa, a win for the Red Sox. How about that? It's been a minute. Feels a little better, doesn't it, Red Sox Nation? Hi, how you doing? It is the Baseball Hour, better known at this time of year as the Baseball Half Hour. No Tony Maz tonight. He's out, so you get me, Matt McCarthy. Sorry about that. Tell you what, Jimmy, why don't we open the phone lines right now? 617-779-0985. You want to talk some Sox? We've got 26 minutes to do it, if my math is correct, as we lead you up until Celtics and Bucks game 5 tonight at the Garden. So this is your opportunity to talk Red Sox. And if you're bummed that you don't get to do it with Maz and you get to do it with me, I have good news for you, because we have somebody that you do want to talk to. That would be Jared Carrabas from DraftKings. You know him as the host of the Jared Carrabas podcast. And Baseball is Dead. More importantly, he is my tribal chief, and I acknowledge him. Hi, Jared. How you doing?
Thank you for acknowledging me. That was important before I said anything. I'm excited. I'm excited for the show, because I feel like there's a lot of things we have to talk about today, that things are happening right now.
Yeah, and that you're referencing Xander Bogaerts. There are some rumors around Xander Bogaerts, and we'll get to that, because I think that really speaks the big picture with the Red Sox right now, Jared, and I'm kind of fascinated to get your opinion on that. But why don't we talk about the here and now first and foremost? Just because you and I haven't talked yet this baseball season, are you concerned that this Red Sox season is over, yes or no? Like, how do you feel about the state of the Boston Red Sox right now?
No, I don't think it's over. I don't, in me saying that I don't think that it's over, that's not me saying that I think that they can still make the playoffs. That's me saying that I still think that they can make it interesting. And I think that the solution is pretty simple. And I tweeted about this yesterday during the game, and I just texted you this take. Garrett Whitlock needs to be the closer of this team. He needs to be the closer of this team. And you had him make, what, 4 appearances? He just won his first start that he's ever made this season. The Red Sox have blown 9 saves. By the way, the Blue Jays are catching up for having a really good closer in Romano. They have 8 blown saves now. The Red Sox have 9. The average for a major league team this year, 3.6 blown saves. So let's just say the Red Sox save 6 of those 9 blown saves. Don't you feel a lot better about your team this year?
Yes, 100%.
And you may say, all right, if you take Garrett Whitlock and put him in that position, are you really putting all your eggs in one basket? I was looking at it before we started the show. There is a large amount of Red Sox relievers that are having a pretty damn good season. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 relievers, not named Garrett Whitlock, that have combined for a 2.66 ERA. A strikeouts per 9 of 9.18. That's pretty good. And a whip of 1.13. So you've got a pretty good bullpen. Like, I think that they can find help for a 5th starter if everyone else just kind of shifts down. That's where you're losing. I mean, obviously, we can talk about the offense all you want, about being responsible for where the Red Sox are at. But 9 blown saves? You mean to tell me if Garrett Whitlock is not closing out those games, that the Red Sox aren't in a far better position than they find themselves entering play today?
I mean, Jared, I think you're spot on. This is the story tonight. It's Garrett Whitlock coming off his start last night. And listen, it was shaky. It wasn't great. I still think he's a starter long term. I understand why the Red Sox think he's a starter. I understand why the Red Sox want him in the starting rotation long term. But Jared, he needs to be there now. You know, to your point, the stability of the Red Sox bullpen has been the problem. You know, you're getting at times some decent performances. I mean, you know, Schreiber comes in, Danish gets the win last night. Like, at times they've been able to mask it. At times they've been able to hide some of their problems out there. You're even making the statistical argument that, yeah, the blown saves are huge, but, you know, you look at some of the other stats, maybe they're not as bad as we think. They just don't have any stability. They don't have any defined roles. And if Garrett Whitlock's your closer, does that make everybody else better out there? I mean, it's not an unreasonable take, Jared. I mean, I still think that they are hiding problems out there. I still think that even if Whitlock is your closer, you still need help. But I think you're a hell of a lot better a baseball team if he's your closer than he is in your starting rotation right now.
Sure. I just looked it up. Garrett Whitlock, as a starter this year in the first inning. So let's just say hypothetically, we're trotting him out there for the first 3-4 innings as a starter and he's dominating. What does it matter if they end up blowing it in the next, 5-6 innings, whatever Garrett Whitlock gives you. But in the first inning as a starter this year, Garrett Whitlock, has not allowed a run. He's struck out 8 batters in 4 innings, allowed 2 hits. I don't even think he's walked a guy.
I don't think he has recollection, Jared. I mean, that's just off the top of my head. I don't think he has.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what you're looking at. Oh, no. Yes. So you're looking at Garrett Whitlock as a starter in the first inning. He's essentially been perfect. And then we see what he's been as a reliever and a guy that can give you multiple innings. And I'm not trying to, because I know that the newer generation of baseball fans, they would rather have a weapon like Garrett Whitlock be able to give you these multiple innings. And as a starter, is he more valuable if he gives you, if he can impact 4 innings per game instead of 1 inning per game? I get all that. I do. but I think we've kind of seen even a little bit more recently. I know that start against the Angels too. I think Max Stassi was the one that took him deep for the 2-run home run to tie it at Fenway. He can be dominant if he has the ability to air it out for 1 inning. Versus if you're expecting him to go out there for 4 innings, and I'm not going to use the word pedestrian, but he's not as God mode once he gets to the second, and I don't think he's ever seen the third part of a batting order. It just seems to me like that is the fix for this team, because if you're Heim Bloom, are you going to make a trade for a closer in May? No, there's still plenty of time for the season to be saved. And you have that guy in-house to do it with.
Okay, so why hasn't it happened? Why are they, so hell-bent on him being a starting pitcher right now? And who's responsible for it?
I think that you've got the nerds. And I say that term with endearment because
that's Tyler Milliken. Okay, so the nerds meaning Heim Bloom, right? Is that what you're saying?
He's a nerd, but he's king nerd, but there's other nerds over there that I'm sure they have a conglomerate of nerds that are saying this, what I just said about Garrett Whitlock. We'd rather have him impact 4 innings in a game than 1 inning per game. On the surface, that makes sense. But then when you consider that the Red Sox have below 9 saves and that leads the majors, it's a huge black eye on this team, and a reason that you can definitively point to, because you've heard players say this. I don't know why we're so bad. I don't know what's going on. We have so much talent. All right. But do you have a closer? No, you don't. If you did, where would you be? You would have a winning record. You would.
Yep. I mean, I couldn't agree more, Jared. 617-779-0985. We've got a couple open phone lines right now. We'll get to you in just a second. So, I mean, here's the issue, and here's why I think Garrett Whitlock is in the rotation right now, because they do think he's a starter long term, which I get. And by the way, I agree with. I want Garrett Whitlock to eventually be a starter. But the issue is here, Jared, I just don't think the Red Sox care enough about the 2022 Red Sox to actually move Garrett Whitlock back to the bullpen. Do you agree with that take, or do you push back against that? I think they're so focused on the long term that they can't get out of their own way, and that's why he's in the rotation right now. Because somebody like Heim Bloom looks at this and says, well, I want him in the rotation eventually. We might as well make it happen now. Whereas you and I, and I think most Red Sox fans, and I bet Alex Cora feels this way too, we all feel that Garrett Whitlock is most useful and most impactful to the 2022 Red Sox in the bullpen. What do you make of that?
So where I arrive on that is not so much that the Red Sox don't care about winning this year as much as they have an issue with admitting their faults too quickly. I think that if the Red Sox were to, it's a very simple and logical solution to make Garrett Whitlock the closer of this team. But I think if they were to do that, then they would be admitting we made a mistake. And I don't think that they like doing that. And I think that that's what it comes down to, because they're smart. They know that Xander Bogaerts can opt out after this year. We know where they're at in contract negotiations. JD Martinez, another guy that when we talk about contracts, we immediately go to Bogaerts and we go to Devers. Devers has a year left after this year. JD Martinez is up after this year, and he's been one of your, like, everyone just wants to write off JD Martinez as, well, he's old and he's over the hill and we can move on without him. Can you? Because he's been one of your best offensive producers this year.
Yeah. Not to mention your ace is up at the end of this year too.
Sure.
Nate Eovaldi.
And Nate Eovaldi. And to your point about Nate Eovaldi, because if you want to take Garrett Whitlock out of the rotation, I'm looking at Michael Wacha, who's on the injured list. Maybe he'll be back soon. Maybe he won't be. But Rich Hill, Nathan Eovaldi, who you just mentioned, those three guys, a 2.42 ERA, a 1.03 whip, and the strikeouts per nine is nothing to write home about. It's right around eight. But they've been great. Like that's a nice little three. I don't want to call it a three-headed monster, but that's a nice little threesome of starting pitchers that you're not, especially because Garrett Whitlock is being looked at a guy that can give you three, four innings. He's not this bulldog like Nate Eovaldi who's going to go out there and give you seven and battle. That's not an indictment on Garrett Whitlock. That's just how they use him. But Garrett Whitlock is not being used or depended on as some sort of savior for the rotation. You have guys that can give you quality innings as a starter. And again, I'll go back to that list of names that I mentioned earlier. I didn't name them, but it's Schreiber, Danish, Brazier, Robles, Davis, Strom, Sawamura, and Diekman. Those are what, seven or eight relievers that combined for a 2.66 ERA, the 1.13 whip. So like if you need to go to your bullpen, like you have guys that can fill those innings. It's just that the ninth inning is such a different monster that when you look at the number, like the numbers will tell you, oh, all the innings are created the same. We take out the human element. No, yep. That's just not the case.
Right. I mean, you name those eight guys, you say they have good stats. You trust any of them of the eight? I don't necessarily, you know, trust
in the sixth and the seventh, right. I'm fine with it.
Okay. And you trust them in the ninth. And we've seen that. That's been a huge issue for them. Sure. Really all this season. All right, you're a man of the people, Jared. You want to hear from the people. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Justin in Rhode Island. You're up first. Justin just dropped. How about Matt in Rhode Island? You're up first with McCarthy and Carrabas. Hey.
Hey, guys. How you doing? No, I totally agree. The ninth inning is a different animal. You have to be an elite closer, you have to have a certain mindset. I think Garrett Whitlock is that guy. Plus, he could give you some flexibility to come in the eighth if need be. But just also on Trevor's story, I'm not just saying this because he's off to such a bad start, but I really think it was an underhanded move bringing him in to obviously replace Xander and this whole thing. But, I mean, Xander's producing. I just don't think it's a good look.
Sounds good, Matt. Hey, Carrabas, give me a quick take on story. How concerned are you before we get to Bogaerts, which I do want to get to because there's a lot of reporting and speculation on him today. But what do you make of story?
We're what, less than 30 games into a 6-year contract?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a little small of a sample size to make a sort of an indictment on Trevor Story and his Red Sox tenure.
So how about the larger sample size? A guy coming off his worst season last year who struggles against righties and has struggled historically away from Coors Field. You're not concerned about any of that?
I'm not saying that there's no reason to be concerned, but I need to see more from Trevor Story. I mean, he's one of those guys that we've pointed at because of the contract. I made this point on the podcast the other day about how we come at Trevor Story because of the money. We come at Bobby Dalbec for whatever reason. I mean, he's a homegrown guy, but Kike Hernandez has been right in the same area of suck as Bobby and Story. And no one talks about Kike. That guy, when he was at the top of his game last year, when he was leading off and he was on fire, when Kike went, the Red Sox went, he's been skating in all of this. So it's not just one guy. It's not just those two guys. It's been a few guys that they've needed to step up.
0-for-5 last night for Kike. He's batting 168. And need I remind you, he is a career 240 hitter. I'm right there with you, Carrabas. That is Jared Carrabas. It's Matt McCarthy in for Tony Maz on the Baseball Hour tonight. 617-779-0985. We got one segment to go because we're leading you up till Celtics and Bucks game 5. Grandy and Max alongside at 6:30. A lot of reporting and speculation today on Xander Bogaerts. We will get to that next.
Now more baseball and more Maz.
Okay.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It does sort of serve notice to the industry. The Cardinals could be looking for a shortstop for both the near term and potentially the long term as well. And we talked earlier this week on this show about Xander Bogaerts and Boston and what could happen there if they don't get things going. Bogaerts in a Cardinals uniform would look pretty good, depending on how things play out the next couple of months here. I do think if the Red Sox make Bogaerts available, hard to find a better fit right now in the major leagues than the St. Louis Cardinals.
The thought of that makes me want to puke. The Red Sox trading Xander Bogaerts at the trading deadline, trading him to the Cardinals, who I'm sure then would sign him to a massive contract extension. This is the baseball hour, the baseball half hour, at least tonight. It's Matt McCarthy in for Maz. We got Jared Carabas alongside. How does that make you feel, Jared, the thought of trading Xander Bogaerts at the trading deadline? And before I get your thoughts on it, it's not just John Morosi, who you just heard there on MLB Network, saying that today. Jim Bowden, earlier today for The Athletic, is proposing that the Red Sox trade Xander Bogaerts to the Cardinals. He writes, the Red Sox should be doing everything they can to sign Bogaerts to a long-term deal, but it appears they're doing the opposite. The only proposal they've made was not nearly enough, and there was zero chance he'd accept it. If their position doesn't significantly change, then it makes sense to seek the best trade for Bogaerts because he will likely opt out of his contract after the season. Do you buy these rumors, and what is your reaction to everything that's gone on with Xander Bogaerts?
I don't know that I buy the rumors right now. I think I'm a little confused, right? If you're a Red Sox fan and you're, what was it, 8 years times 27, the AAV was 27. So it's like a little over $200 million is what they were saying for Bogaerts in St. Louis.
Yeah, and Bowden's proposing a neighborhood of 8 years and $216 million, which would come out to about that, yes.
So we've seen in the past, right, the Red Sox ownership pressuring the general manager, the chief baseball officer, the president of baseball operations. They've got different titles for the same position over the last, call it 10 years. Force this individual into doing things that necessarily they don't want to do. I think that that's what happened with Pablo Sandoval, mm-hmm. where you're coming off a last place season in 2014. You want to make a splash. So you go out and you spend money on Hanley, which I don't necessarily think wasn't a Charrington thing because Charrington loved Hanley. He had him before when he was in Boston. If you're gonna make some sort of ownership push and make a general manager figure, force them into a financial commitment, wouldn't it be Bogaerts?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be the guy?
Yes, absolutely. I think he's gonna age well. I don't think he'll be a shortstop forever, but I've said this before, Jared. I mean, Bogaerts is the type of player who hits 290 with 20 home runs until the day he dies because he's a pure hitter. I think it's as safe an investment as it comes.
I think it's more so just you listen to the players, right? How many times can you remember an example of Red Sox players in the clubhouse lobbying to retain a player well before they were able to sign elsewhere? Like we saw it after the Red Sox won the World Series in 2007. You saw the sign Mike Lowell signs during the parade, and then the campaign to sign Nathan Eovaldi when he became a free agent. But that happened basically on the doorstep of his free agency. You're hearing these Red Sox players say right now, today, 5.5 months before he's eligible to opt out and become a free agent, hey, this is the guy you need to spend the money on. This is the guy that we need to keep here. And it's from other leaders. It's not from these guys that are like, what do we care what so-and-so thinks? Like Chris Sale is saying this. Alex Verdugo is saying this. I'm sure Devers he's not the type of guy that's going to be screaming it from the top of his lungs, but we know how he feels about it. And I've said this before on this show, and Tony was like, do you know that or do you think that? I think that the Red Sox might be greatly underestimating the connection between Devers' willingness to stay here if Bogaerts is here or not.
So who is that on? Is that on Heim Bloom or is it on ownership? Who do you hold accountable for this? Because this, to me, Jared, is a mess. I mean, I do believe these rumors. I do believe that if the Red Sox are out of it, Heim Bloom will trade Xander Bogaerts at the deadline and he'll waive his no trade to get out of here.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if Bogaerts were upset and wanted to be, if this team is still in last place at the deadline and they can find a home for him, especially in a place like St. Louis, where he knows he's got a fat extension waiting for him, I wouldn't blame Bogaerts one iota for that.
No.
And then you kind of look at Heim Bloom and this was something that we talked about on the podcast about how could you blame Heim Bloom for this? Yes and no. It doesn't make baseball sense. If you're out of it and you think that he's not going to resign, like that bridge is already burned, you need to blame yourself for burning the bridge. But from a baseball standpoint, would it make sense to just let him walk and get nothing for him? So it you messed it up at first, and then it became a situation where it makes baseball sense. But before the season, when you had his ear and you could have offered him an extension at a fair rate, say it is an average annual value of $27 million, could you have made that happen? Yes. Should you have wanted to make that happen? Yes. So dropping the ball on that, I would feel like is inexcusable. And I don't think that the ownership is absolved from blame, because we've seen this ownership group step in and say, no, we are actually going to spend the money on this guy. They can override whoever they need to override.
And Jared, this is why I've been saying it for the last week, and I saved it for the final 30 seconds of the program, so you can't push back against it. This is why you need to fire Chaim Bloom before it gets too late.
Whoa.
You must keep Xander Bogaerts, and Chaim Bloom's going to trade him. It'll be 2014 with Lester all over again. You need to get somebody in here who's going to salvage it. He's not the right man for the job. You have 10 seconds to respond, Jared. Please do so.
I'm right underneath Tyler in the Bloominati. I don't think that that's the solution, but the solution, you do have to keep Xander Bogaerts. You do have to do that.
You must keep him. Hey, Jared, it's been fun. Appreciate it, my man.
Let's do this again soon.
I feel like this should be to be continued on Hardcore Baseball.
I think we need to get Jared on Hardcore Baseball. Milliken's been ducking me. I've been trying to book him. He's getting too big for me.
He's Hollywood now.
Yeah, well, now that he's with you, Jared. So, I mean, you know, I'll never get Milliken on the podcast again. He's big timing me. Rightfully so. But yes, let's make it happen on an episode of Hardcore Baseball. See you, man.
I'm there.
All right. Hey, Jimmy Stewart, thanks a lot. Kevin Maggiore, thanks a lot.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.